While we're waiting for a few senators to show up, I want to compliment all of you senators on the level of discussion on issues and how you maintain the decor. Can all be proud of everything you just did and how you handled yourselves. So pat yourselves on the back, if you can reach your back. Those of us that have shoulder problems, Ellen, would you pat me on the back? No, never. It's that time of the night. Okay, we're going to try to get started. Who we got a quorum? Let's see. We do. Okay. The next order of business for in terms of our second reading amendments is second reading amendment number 21 is the number I have. Reading clerk, please read that amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 21, corrected copy, page 120, lines 14 through 28.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 21 to Senate File 1. Folks, this is going to be a series of undos of raids that have been made on various funds and moving money various places. This one happens to be the 1% optional severance tax that we diverted last year. This would have been a multi-year diversion on it, and was going to take money from normally it would go to the general fund into the BRA, and this diversion would have took it to the school foundation program. It's $84 million a year, and this amendment, by voting aye, will undo that and put the money back into the normal scheme of things where we can appropriate money in a correct fashion. I encourage you to vote aye.
Further discussion? Okay. All in favor of second reading amendment number 21, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 22. Reading clerk, please read that amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 22, corrected copy, page 124, lines 1 through 27.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of second reading amendment number 20, second reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1. Folks, this is another one that's a redo of a swap. This bill, as it came out into the bill, it swapped the two-thirds from the BRA and school foundation, and now it's been moved back to the old normal way, which is two-thirds to the BRA and one-third to the school foundation. Once again, restores it, allows us to appropriate monies in the right way. There'll be more coming. I encourage you to vote aye.
Okay, voting on second reading amendment number 22. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate file or second reading amendment number 22 has passed. Second reading amendment number 23. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 23, corrected copy, page 125, lines 18 through 28.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 23 to Senate File 1. Folks, this is a diversion of anything of our coal shell or geothermal leases. This will be our bonus money. First $7.5 million goes into the school CapCon, and under the new diversion, everything would go to the school foundation. There is no coal bonuses out there. It's at zero, but if we did have anything that came in, this would divert the money off. We're trying to keep it back on the same track. I encourage you to vote aye.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 23 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 24. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 24, corrected copy, page 128, lines 20 through 28.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move... Actually, I'd like to go to consent list on mine. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1. Folks, this is our guarantee of the tranche of the 2019 SIPA for $92 million. I assume you all understand with no further explanation. Stand for question.
Okay, all in favor of second reading amendment number 24, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 25.
Senate File 1.
Please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 25, page 132, lines 2 through 27.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'd like to withdraw that amendment, please.
Okay, that is without objection. That has been withdrawn. Second reading amendment number 26. Read that in, please.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 26, corrected copy, page 134, line 1.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 26 to Senate File 1. Folks, this is the SIPA for the penitentiary tranche. This just moves the money back out of the SIPA and into the LSRA when the time comes. Stand for questions.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 26 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 27. Reading clerk, please read that one.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 27, corrected copy, page 141, lines 8 through 20.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 27 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's aye vote. And, Mr. President, what the bill does is it takes the money from any remote vendors, internet, sales tax, and I think moved it into the mineral reserve account, permanent mineral trust fund reserve account, school foundation reserve account, I'm sorry, instead of the general fund. And what this amendment does is deletes that so that it'll go back where sales tax always goes, back into the general fund.
All in favor of second reading amendment number 27, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please? Second reading amendment number 28. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 28, page 1, line 12.
Mr. President. Yeah. Go ahead. Senator Landon.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. I would move second reading amendment number 28 to Senate File 1. And fellow senators, I appreciate the prime sponsor of this amendment allowing me just a moment or two to explain why I jumped on the amendment happily. I want to take you to a little community in Wyoming. It's one of the beautiful places that we all are certainly aware of. We have hundreds of them in our state. This particular community is up at the head of the Wind River, just above and part of the district where the president is. It's a community that has perhaps been impacted more than any community we have in our state from federal policy with respect to timber harvest and endangered species and wolves and grizzlies. And frankly, it's a much quieter town now. But there's something going on up there that I think is so worth our time and effort that I wanted to get on this amendment. And I'm going to yield the floor to the good president here in a moment. I think this is worth our consideration, and I hope you'll vote aye on the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Members of the Senate, I bring to you the second reading amendment number 28. And what I'd like to do is very briefly explain to you the reason for it, and then what the amendment does, Mr. Vice President. And my colleague from Natrona County gave you an overview of what's going on in this particular community. But what we have up there is we have a gentleman that has fallen in love with Wyoming, has chosen to move here, and he's also believes very strongly in America, freedom, and our military, and he's taken it upon himself to advance his weapons museum. And the number that I've been told is a substantial amount of money he's invested of his own private capital. And when I say in the weapons, I'm talking about tanks and cannons and guns and Winchester guns. And $17 million has been spent to purchase this to put place in this museum. And furthermore, Mr. Vice President, he has purchased land east of this particular community up in the northern part of our state, just before you get to where the reservation ends, and he's going to build a $20 million museum with his own money. Interestingly enough, he was not in the military, but he He just has a tremendous belief in what the military's done for our country and the freedom we enjoy. And what I thought, Mr. Vice President, is to maybe we can help this along a little bit and getting back to the importance of tourism and all of that and related. And we always talk about, you know, if we can just capture people as they go through our communities, whether you're in Rock Springs or Cody, you know, we all understand the destinations where people really want to go in our state. But if we can capture some of those or create avenues where people can go to those particular areas. And so we would love to have them come through Fremont County. And what we've done is, in order to help facilitate that, not sure what we might be able to do, but we thought we'd put together, and I usually don't like task forces, and I really don't like it in a budget bill, but this all came up so quickly that I offer this to you for your favorable consideration, I hope. We'll set it up, and we're going to have two members from the Senate, two from the House, preferably those that are very, very involved in tourism, and then we're going to have the governor appoint five people, and we really want to have tourism, State Parks, Wyoming Veterans Commission, and then two members of the public at large. The whole purpose of this, Mr. Vice President, is to see what we can do, and maybe we can enhance that, maybe we can grow it. My colleague from the northwestern part of the state has an incredible museum up there that is world-renowned, and they started with a small bunch of displays and private sector money, and they've done an incredible job. I don't know that we'll ever reach the levels that they have, but this is the start, so I would ask for your support, and we can move this forward. And if we get this thing going, I'll personally invite all of you to Senate District 26, and my colleague from Natrona and I will be glad to host you at this new museum. Thank you.
Mr. President, I'm not sure Senator Landon moved that. Did you move it, Senator?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to verify. Thank you. Okay. Further conversation? On, is that 2028? On Amendment 2028, seeing none, would Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe? Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz? Moniz?
Case.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout? President Bebout?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Amendment 2028 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is Senate Amendment 2029.
Reader in, please.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 29, page 145, after line 5.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I wanted to jump right back up while the chamber is hot. I wasn't going to say anything, Mr. Chairman, but it is my birthday. And Mr. Chairman, I would move second reading amendment number 29 to Senate File 1. And fellow senators, this does not impact the budget, but it is something that I think is important. It's late into the evening, so I won't spend long. I think all of us are aware of incidents that took place down in one of our southern states a little over a week ago, and it had me thinking quite a bit about things. As your school facilities representative, we have devoted a lot of revenue, a lot of money to our school districts out across our state to allow them the ability to take care of some security projects. I think you might remember a $9 and $10 million appropriation here a couple of years ago. And since that time, we've allowed a 10% variance in our major maintenance funding so that they can address some issues out there, Mr. President. Along the way, I think we've done some other things, but I just think it's important that we stop sometime during this interim and get a snapshot on the security of our schools out across the state. And that's what this amendment does, Mr. President. It calls for a gathering by the Wyoming Department of Education of all the information they can provide to us, and they will come back to our Joint Education Committee and to the School Facilities Committee and give us that security snapshot. Would appreciate your favorable vote.
Further discussion? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill, and I think we ought to just put a ribbon on this and vote yes.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 29. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 30, and with my list, this is next to last. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 30, corrected copy, page 145, after line 5.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, thank you. I would move second reading amendment number 30 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, if we think back just about a week and a half ago, it seems much longer than that, we began this session with an address from the governor, and he gave us a budget for K-12 operations, his recommendation of $1.8 billion, and that's with the model and so forth, that's kind of about where we are. K-12 facilities, $203 million. We also had a presentation from LSO that we were short K-12 operations by $484 million. Short on K-12 facilities by $177 million. We all know we're not going to cover that by cuts. We did hear from the governor that the time has come. He agrees with the idea that we need prudent and reasonable reductions in what we spend on education. It calls for a balanced, phased-in approach. This approach came about as some of your fellow senators and I were talking. We reflected on one district superintendent told us. He said, I know we got to take a reduction. We just can't take it all at once. Give us time. Give us a little bit of time to work it through. So what Amendment 30 does is phases in a series of prudent, balanced reductions over a period of 4 years and goes a bit beyond that. Puts another $15 million on the table in the first two to help offset and mute the impact of those reductions. So there are a number of measures in Amendment 30. But let me give you the top-line view. The estimated net impact, fiscal impact, of this approach in 2019 would be $33.9 million. Against the base of 1.8 that the governor recommended, that would be a 1.9% reduction. Year 2020 would be a net estimated fiscal impact of $41.1 million against a $1.8 billion budget, 2.3%. In the year 2021, $46 million reduction against a $1.8 billion budget, 2.6%. And in 2022, $55 million against a $1.8 billion budget, 3.1%. Upon completion, at $55 million, it is still barely 10% of the 484 gap that we have to close. So we know how this is going to come out. We're going to continue to tap savings. There may or may not be diversions. We know that raising taxes is not an option, at least not until we show the taxpayers that we've really done what we have to do with respect to education. So this seems, all in all, to be a fairly reasoned and prudent approach. The recommendations, of which there are approximately a dozen of them, also give this body the opportunity to mix and match pieces that may or may not be to their liking. But as a whole, it has the virtue that some of the things that are impacted are out of the legislative model, which is above and beyond the evidence-based model. Other elements that are impacted weren't involved in the model discussion at all, weren't involved in the court litigation at all. It's just things that this body elected to do. For instance, there's nothing that requires us to pay for employees' pensions who are not on the payroll. But we do. There's nothing that requires us to pay health insurance for people who are not actually getting health insurance. But we do. They're referred to as ghost employees. And yes, overall, it's still money and it impacts the block, but it does it in such a phased, prudent approach that we can feel comfortable that over 4 years, the districts will be able to absorb it and not impact the classroom teacher, which is where it all happens. The highest priority is to keep the classroom teacher as whole as possible. That's why you'll see things in here like impacting groundskeepers, cash reserves, trying to rein in our full cost reimbursement of special education and transportation, health insurance and retirement expenses. Those are all big line items.
Time.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. These are really difficult times. And that always calls for difficult votes. And I wish we didn't have to talk about this amendment or bills of this nature, but we do. This is where it has to happen. To date, Mr. President, we have reduced the K through 12 block grant funding by approximately 4.7%. If we were to pass this and it would survive through the process and be enacted into law, that over the course of the next 4 years, that would push that reduction into the overall budget for K through 12 to somewhere between 6% and 7%. Your Appropriations Committee has stood before you this last couple of days and explained budgets that have taken hits of 10, 12, and 15% on the agency side of the budget. So it seems only fair and reasonable that we would bring this amendment. And by the way, I appreciate once again the introduction by my friend from Sheridan. We have spent since early November and all throughout the interim, we served on the recalibration committee together with the senator from Cowley, the good senator from over the hill. We didn't come out with anything from that committee, Mr. President, but we did come out with this. You know, it seems like a reasonable conversation, and I stand in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition of this amendment, and let me tell you why. First of all, it really comes down to, at least for my district, the loss of enrollment, and I think everybody knows that Campbell County has experienced the highest loss of enrollment in the state. And as a result of that, our revenues to the state aren't as good as what they used to be. And so because of that loss of enrollment and the three-year average of cuts, my district has experienced an 8% cut with the $56 million that we had. So by the time we go ahead and go through these years, if this should happen to pass, ultimately, we will be at 18%. And that's more than what government agencies we have seen. And we've been able to say that that is true, that we have protected K-12 education in comparison to our general fund state agencies. But at least for me, and I may be the only district that that happens to, that is true. But I would also like to point out that the other district that I represent, which is Converse 2, and I've got a handful of kids in Converse 2 that live in my district, they've experienced about a 7% cut because of the loss of enrollment. And when we go through this, they'll be at 17%. So on and against the amendment, and it is a little bit tougher on Campbell County than any other district because of the students that we've lost. And the way that that works is You know, each year you take a third of the cut of the students' total ADM, a third, a third, and a third, until finally you're done. But we have had 2 years of drop of enrollment. So before we even start with the cuts, we'll have a $1.6 million cut. Now, take that in comparison to a total budget of about $134 million, okay? So it does, you know, it's 1%, but in time and over years, it adds up.
Okay, I saw Senator Meyer over here.
Mr. President, I think I'm going to support the cuts, but I'm really disheartened in the form that it is. This should be Senate File 122. This 14 pages, it goes into great detail. I think probably the way to properly do it in the budget is probably figure out what the percentage is on an ADM basis and make it a short, simple bill and put something out like this as supporting documentation as to how the cuts were arrived. Because there's enough in here that probably could have taken a good deal of time in a committee, so we could have got a little bit more input on it rather than through this process. It's kind of frustrating that it came in this form. However, I think it is necessary, Mr. President, and the sponsor has my full support.
Senator Offutt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'll first and foremost point out that this is a Senate file. This is one that's actually on general file that I think we'll be considering in the near future, which is an appropriate place for it because this looks and feels like a bill. We didn't even hear an explanation of what these cuts were. I'd challenge anyone to say what's in this bill at this point in time since we didn't hear that explanation. I know what's in it because, again, we worked it in committee this morning, but this is the type of budget amendment that is so substantive, so significant, and so complicated that we should have three readings, Mr. President, to work on it. We should be able to amend it. We should be able to think it through, debate it on committee of the whole, and really understand what the implications are. But we don't have that opportunity when we put it in the form of a budget amendment, when we just trust that all of the outcomes are going to be good because this leads to cuts. So, Mr. President, I will address a couple of the things that are in there, if for no other reason than to enlighten the Senate for what it is. And one of those is to increase classroom sizes. I think it's important for everyone to know that this would take the classroom sizes up to 18 students per teacher in the K through 5, and then 23 in 6 through 12, if I recall correctly from this morning. And, Mr. President, what I would say to that is we did just complete a recalibration, and there were some important conclusions in the recalibration, and actually those numbers there for the classroom sizes were taken from that recalibration report. But explicitly in that same recalibration report was the language that you cannot just implement these cuts without also implementing these increases in funding and maintain an equitable and fully funded system of education, fully funded model. So there's an assurance, an actual assurance in this last recalibration we did that this is actually unconstitutional. It's explicitly included in the report that this is not a suitable funding model for our education system. And again, Mr. President, there's a lot more detail. There's a lot to discuss. We could go into the nuances of all of this, but we don't have the time and the ability to debate since we're jamming a bill on second reading into the budget, even though the bill is still available for debate. So, Mr. President, first and foremost, even though I don't like the contents of this bill, that's probably pretty clear, I don't think we should engage in this process. And I think really I'll step back a little bit and provide a little soliloquy in my remaining time. This idea of putting bills into the budget has really progressed over the last several years. We didn't include them wholesale a few years ago. We certainly included substantive things, and we certainly included large sums of money. But the idea that, well, we've got a bill and we want two chances at it. Let's just take it and fit it right into the 300 series. There were 121 pieces of legislation that we could have brought as budget amendments today. Man, we'd be going home pretty late if that happened, right? And that's not an appropriate approach to this legislating process. That's why we don't have the Wyoming budget profiled nationally, because it's too complicated. This isn't the intent. That's why we had a recalibration committee. That's why that committee was given the authority to bring legislation if it had chosen to, and it didn't. It didn't bring this recommendation because this recommendation is, quite frankly, unconstitutional. Again, we'll have the opportunity to debate this in detail when the bill version of this comes to the floor, but at this point, I would encourage the body to reject it just out of principle. If this is not how we want to do things with the budget in the future, this is a great time to indicate that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, under ordinary circumstances, I would agree that this is not the sort of thing we like to do in the budget. But, Mr. President, I'm absolutely convinced that it is politically necessary to do this way in order to accomplish anything. Mr. President, when you look at the substance here, yeah, it's useful, I suppose, to compare it to other parts of state government, what we've had to do there. And as health chairman, I've warned you that we're at the point where we're going to do real pain and harm if we cut that back any further, which we may eventually have to do if we can't get our spending under control. But we have a constitutional duty as the people's elected representatives to balance the various functions of government and fund each one according to what's needed. And I'm not fully conversant, Mr. President, with all the things in here, but I've seen some of the key ones. Class size, get rid of health insurance payments for retirees that don't exist, get rid of funding for ghost employees. And, Mr. President, I think those are important. And do something about the transportation. That's important, too. Because I am convinced we have allowed some excesses that are doing harm in the classroom. I think the administration, Mr. President, in every district in the state, and I don't think mine's as bad as some of the others, but I think every district in the state has gotten a bit out of hand, and some of these devices we're removing is how it gets funded. And when you have too many administrators, they make extra work for the classroom teachers to justify their existence and distract the teachers from their main mission of teaching. And that's important. When you spend too much on transportation and bus kids, why does Natrona County have to go play Evanston all the time? Far corner of the state, let them play schools that are closer, where the kids are out of the classroom less time. Athletics is important, but if it gets out of hand, again, it distracts from the classroom teaching. So I am convinced both that we need to find some rational ways to reduce our spending, because we cannot afford to continue what we're doing. And I'm convinced, Mr. President, that doing this will, in quite a number of ways, improve the quality of the education that our children are getting. There'll be some negatives in there, too. I'm not going to say it's all improvement. It isn't. But I think we will preserve the core that we need to have an excellent system. And in some ways, we will actually improve what we're doing. So I urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to echo the thoughts of my colleague from Campbell County. As was mentioned, Commerce County is dealing with much the same issues with the erratic enrollment. And I just ask the body to think about the consequences of these decisions over the long term. If we're going to say, for example, eliminate the three-year rolling average, that's going to have dire consequences throughout the communities that, frankly, already bear the brunt of our boom and bust cycle to begin with. So I understand that we're going to have to find more efficiencies in K through 12. I absolutely support that, but we have to be careful about the manner in which we do that. And boy, it's tough when, say, for example, the local board in Glen Rock has already made responsible decisions without us forcing them to do it regarding transportation, so that they don't, they're reassessing their athletic schedule so they don't spend as much. They bought a commercial off-the-shelf software that makes their bus routes as efficient as possible, and they eliminated two routes in a district with less than 600 students. They do that because they're good, solid fiscal conservatives, and it's difficult to have to tell them that, you know, we're going to have to reduce and make your budget more erratic over the long term, not just in this immediate crisis, but for the foreseeable future. Because we haven't taken some steps to do the basic things like ensure transportation costs are being handled responsibly. So that's the reason why I'm going to be a no on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I understand we're going to have to continue to find efficiencies in our K-12 system, absolutely, but we have to be careful about the manner in which we do it.
Further discussion, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief. I just want to talk about a little bit about the process, and I, for one, am not willing to relinquish this body's input on these reductions. We knew farewell that when we came down here, very well, that we were going to have to make some type of reductions in this funding model. $900 million shortfall, and so difference in our budget. So we knew we had to address that. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody that these hard decisions are at our doorstep right now. But the process concerns me a little bit, and I think everybody in this body has felt the stress and the challenges that we faced in these first 2 weeks of our session. But we are approaching conference committees with our colleagues down the hall, and if we don't have anything in our hands, then we have literally relinquished the right of this body to be directly involved in the goings-on of these reductions in our school systems in this funding model. And I don't feel very comfortable about that. It's our responsibility, whether it be a bill or whether it be this budget bill amendment. Think about the positioning for a minute as we approach this this time in this budget session. These are hard decisions. I can share the emails that are still coming in on my laptop from my own school districts, because the word's out and I've got the target on my back. But it doesn't change my attitude. The decisions have to be made. You might not see me here next year, but I can live with myself in knowing that I fought the fight and I have made the tough decisions for what's best for Wyoming and our budget. I'm looking for long-term solutions. That's why we're here. Kicking the can down the road. Keep talking about hard decisions. They are hard. They're here now. So let's meet it head on. Think about our positioning from this body, who we represent, and let's come to some good decisions working with our school teachers, our school districts, our school boards, our school administrators. This isn't impossible. We can save. We can still salvage our good quality education system we worked so hard to build in Wyoming. And I keep stressing that. We've been involved in that, too. It hasn't been just the school districts that have made quality education. We've had a major part in that, and we'll continue to have a major part in that process. So vote your conscience on this one, but think of the positioning and how this body is going to be represented as we approach the final weeks of this budget session.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Further discussion. Senator Kinski, do you wish to speak for a second time? Question being called for. We're voting on second reading amendment number 30. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Plater?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 24 aye, 6 no.
Second reading, amendment number 30 has passed. I believe this is the last one, members of the Senate. Second reading, number 34. Will the reading clerk please read that in?
Senate file 1, second reading, amendment number 34, page 145, after line 5.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 34 to Senate file 1. Folks, this is, again, part of a balanced, phased, reasonable approach. And what we're talking about here is the health insurance plan for state employees. With very modest reductions, but something that we know at some point or other we've got to get started on it. The current plan says, here's how it works. Take the $500 deductible plan premium, whether for you or your whole family. Take 85% of that. It's not 80 and 50 like it is on some plans or don't cover the dependents like some. It's 85%, the whole family. Take that premium. Throw in the premium for life insurance. Add to that the premium for the dental. Take 85% of those. That total amount then is a credit to the employee. So now you're starting out paying 15%. But the employee can then opt to go up to the next deductible of $900. That amount does not change. It becomes a credit. So now instead of paying 85%, they're getting paid over 90%. Now, it is at the cost of a higher deductible and so forth. Well, out in the private sector, that's just not what other folks in Wyoming have. If they have insurance at all, it's they're lucky to have 80% for the employee, nothing for the dependents, or if they're really lucky, 80% for the employee and 50% for the dependents. So this simply says it, from a current 85%, we're going to move it next year to 84%, and then next year to 83%. As to the percentage on the dental and life insurance, and then finally, the Department of A&I is directed in the next budget request to peg that at 82%. So from 85% to 82% on a $500 deductible, I'd move for an affirmative vote on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I feel like I need to declare a conflict on this one. I have a beautiful wife who works for the state and happened to benefit from this program, so I feel like I need to declare a conflict on that.
So noted. Senator Von Plater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just curious if we could ask the sponsor, who makes up the difference? Then the employee must pay the difference of 1 or 2 or 3% as the time goes on. And I didn't really understand his math, but it seemed like he got a pay raise by choosing a larger deduction, and the employee got a pay raise because the state covered that. I really didn't understand that, so I'd ask for a little clarification.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I'm in the private sector. I pay 100% of my health insurance for my employees. I give them a $2,000 medical savings account, and the deductible is $2,000. So essentially, they've got the 0%, zero deductible, and I pay all of it because I want to keep my employees, Mr. President. Some people pay less. I probably pay a little bit more. But I do know that I have heard that our state plan is so rich that it essentially is in violation of the Affordable Care Act, and I think there'll probably be some adjustments in it. And those adjustments may very well bring down the prices of what we pay for insurance because of that, because we're going to have to pay a Cadillac tax, as I understand. So, you know, I think there's going to be some changes in this one way or the other. However, I know our employees haven't had a raise for quite a while. And that's kind of frustrating, saying not only we're not going to give you a raise, we're going to reduce your benefits. And so, Mr. President, I know that we've increased the retirement contribution to our employees because of the effects of the stock market and the differences in the actuarial assumptions that we've put forward, and may very well have to increase those again. So I think those are right around the corner that our employees will probably have to get another 0.5% here or there over the course of the next several years, and to bring it up to where we feel comfortable with that particular plan. So with all those things being in flux, Mr. President, I'm reluctant to support this at this time until we sort out what I guess reductions in benefits are going to occur because of federal action.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I will declare that I am a participant on the state plan, but I do not believe I have a conflict. I'm part of a substantial class of persons, which includes, I think, most of my district.
So noted. Thank you, Senator Roth. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, on and against the amendment. This affects a lot of state employees, and it's really troubling that we're doing it in a budget amendment where there hasn't been a lot of public discussion on it. I know this will affect a lot of people that live in my district, and to the good senator from LaGrange's point, a lot of these folks haven't had a raise in years, and so the news is now we're going to start cutting your benefits. I just think we need to enter this world very cautiously. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burchard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to declare that I am a class of persons. I'm still going to vote on this. My wife works for the state, so but I don't think I'm going to be in any conflict because I'm for the amendment.
So noted. Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you. I have COBRA insurance in the state of Wyoming. Obtained it just before I went to see the doctor for the first time for my cancer treatment. So I still have COBRA left. I don't believe that this affects that, or otherwise I'm in a class of people, Mr. President. I will be voting on this, but I want people to know that.
So noted, Senator Case. Thank you. Senator Nethercott.
Class of persons, Mr. President, as well. So similar to the good senator from Natrona County, I have a spouse that is a state employee, and I am on the state health insurance. I will be voting on this bill. Echo the good senator from Laramie County's concerns over this coming up in a budget bill. I do appreciate the efforts. Also, in the private sector, I do own a business and provide health insurance to my employees as well. So I appreciate the effort to be more competitive for me to get more state employees, but I'm on and against this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Dockstader.
Thank you. Everybody's confessing tonight. I'm also a part of it. My wife works for the has a state job, but I believe that I'll be voting. I represent a class of people. Thank you.
It just occurred to me that all of you, have you checked with your spouses on how you're going to be?
No.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. President, I have a conflict also. My wife works for the state. She's going to retire in 3 months, so I'm going to go ahead and vote.
Okay, so no. So noted. Okay. Any other discussions on it? Let's get the conflicts out of the way. Anybody else got any more potential class of persons or think they would like to say? Senator Burns.
Oh, no. I was just putting my shoe on.
Good work.
Okay. Back on the bill. Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion. Anybody want to speak for the second time? Okay. We're voting on second reading amendment number 34. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar. Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
No.
No. Baldwin.
No.
No. Barnard.
No.
No. Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
No.
No. Christensen. Aye. Co.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader.
No.
No. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Ellis.
No.
No. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert. No. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon. Landon, conflict. Meyer. No. Moniz.
No.
No. Nethercott. No. Pappas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
No. Peterson. No. Rothfuss.
No.
No. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern.
No.
No. Wasserberger.
No.
No. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Vote closed. 12 aye, 17 no, 1 conflict.
Second reading, amendment number 34 has failed. Do we have any standing committee reports or messages from the House? Yeah, we do. I'm going to do that as soon as we do this. Or I should do it now. Okay. Thank you, Senator Case. Senate File 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file be read a third time? Hear no objections? So ordered.
February 21st, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred Senate File 98, Severance Tax Exemption, respectfully reports back, same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, and Perkins. No, Senators Rothfuss and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 49, Disposition of State School Land Revenue, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. Excused, Senator Hastert. Senator Burns, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 99, State Fairgrounds Horse Racing Events, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Driscoll, and Landon. No, Senator Dockstader. Senator Hastert, excused. Senator Burns, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. Excused, Senator Hastert, Senator Burns, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Landon. Excused, Senator Hastert, Senator Burns, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 111, Property Taxation, Digital Currencies, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 117, School Finance Amendments 3, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Perkins, and Von Flatern. Noes, Senators Hastert and Rothfuss. Senator Bebout, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred Senate File 108, Economic Diversification and Development, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, and Von Flatern. Excused, Senator Rothfuss. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February 21, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming Economic Diversification, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkinson, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
We have some re-referrals. Senator Von Flatern.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate File 108, Economic, whatever the name is. Excuse me. Senate File 108...
Economic diversity.
Diversification and development has an appropriation. I ask that it be re-referred to Appropriations Committee number 2.
Thank you, Senator Von Flatern. There's some others, too, from the Rules Committee. The Senate File 118.
if I have to do the re-referrals on those, sir, Senate, Mr. President, Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming Economic Diversification, I'd ask you to re-refer it back to Appropriations Number 2, Appropriations Committee Number 2. It does have an appropriation on it.
Without objection, so noted. There's one more. That would be Senate File 117, I believe, Mr. Vice President.
Senate File 117, School Finance Amendments 3. I ask that it has an appropriation. I ask that it be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, so noted. Any other re-referrals, members of the Senate? Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I close the desk.
Well, Mr. President, before I make the motion, may I approach the floor?
Yes, sir, you may.
Okay, just so folks know, we're going to start early tomorrow. We're going to start at 8:30. We're going to gavel in at 8:30. We just have a few committees at lunchtime, so probably only take about an hour and a half for lunch. Now, tomorrow we'll, except for a few bills that are going to straggle in from these committees on Thursday, tomorrow's kind of sort of the last day, even though it's not. Friday will be taken up with third reading under the budget bill. So tomorrow really is the last day to work committee of the whole with any gusto and with any ability to save as many bills as we can. So that's kind of where we're headed tomorrow. I'll check in with the with chairman. I think we've checked. The only other noon one, I think, is we have one bill. I think we're relatively short. So we'll see how that goes. But with that, I would hate for us to leave here. Everybody thought we were going to be here later than this already. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we send results of the committee of the whole for 30 minutes for consideration of bills on general file. See how many of those we can get done.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Case.
He can do a little bit better job of whooping it through than I do.
That's right. All the way to the top of the mountain. Yeah, I may not be back next year either. Who knows?
Ellen, do we have 84 somewhere?
It's all right. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first file for our consideration is Senate File 84. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration, Chairman? Deployed Military Members, sponsored by Senator Boner, an act relating to motor vehicle registration, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Excuse Senator Agar. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rise report, it do so with a do pass motion on Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration, Deployed Military Members. There was a standing committee amendment. Will the reading clerk read in the amendment?
Senate File 84, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 6.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 84, and for explanation of the file and the bill, I would ask you that you call on Senator Boner.
Senator Boner.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have before you is Senate File 84. This is meant to be a very modest protection way where we can take care of our deployed military members whose vehicle registration happens to expire while they are overseas. So it's a very simple Senate file. You'll see the meat of the bill is on page 2. And so basically all that we're doing is that we're setting up a few requirements. These members have to be deployed outside the continental United States. Once that happens, if their vehicle registration happens to expire, we're just going to give them an opportunity when they do get back. We're going to give them 2 weeks after the time they get back to re-register that vehicle and basically start over, and their registration month would be the month that they get back. So, for example, if somebody deploys right now and for a six-month deployment, they'll be getting back in July or so. Their registration expires next month. Instead of when they get back, instead of registering for and having to pay for that whole 5 months, they just re-register in July and pay moving forward for the actual time they're using that vehicle on public roads. So a few of the details, they're going to have to provide some documentation, whether that be a memorandum from their commanding officer or paperwork in the case of the National Guard. They have a DD-214 once they get back. And they're going to have to basically sign an affidavit saying that they did not drive or nobody drove the vehicle on that road while they were gone. So that's the basic idea behind the bill. Mr. Chairman, at most, we're looking at about $10,000 impact to local governments spread throughout the entire state. And having talked to the treasurer, both in the county to our north and the one here in this county, they're okay with that very minuscule fiscal impact. So that being said, we do have a standing committee amendment. We'll talk about that. And basically, we're making this provision only apply to those who are gone for 90 days or more. And this is at the behest of one of our members who is a former National Guard member, former One Star, and the military department, saying that, you know, the chances, first of all, that when it's only a 3-month or less deployment of them, the registration expiring during that time is very small. It's just frankly not worth the paperwork in that case. So that's the Senate file, ladies and gentlemen. That's the amendment. I'd stand for any questions on the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Seeing no discussion on the amendment, all those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion to adopt the Standing Committee amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Back on the bill. Any questions on the bill? Any discussion on the bill? Senator Von Platen, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just curious if the sponsor would tell me, can they leave an unregistered vehicle, something that's expired while they were gone, or maybe expired before they were gone? Can they park that on the street?
Anybody else? Anybody else? Back to you, Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It says that it can't be driven, so I imagine the same rules still apply as to whether you had another registered vehicle just sitting on the street. But yes, as long as it's not driven on the roadway, then that'll be okay.
Any further discussions for the sponsor? Any further discussions? All right, are you ready for the question? The question is on Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 84. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 84 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 43. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate File 43, Organ Donation, Training, and Timely Postmortem Examination, sponsored by the Labor Committee, an act relating to anatomical gifts, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 43 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Senate File 43, Standing Committee Amendment to Number 1, page 2, line 1.
Senator
Scott. Line 11.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this is the second of the two bills on organ donation. This one deals with training for the coroners. It deals with requiring compliance with the Revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, and it is the one you may have heard some controversy on, because there was a dispute between the proponents of this bill and the coroners, many of the coroners in the state, who took objection to the provisions of the bill, and you may have heard about that in committee. What happened was the proponents and the opponents of that particular provision managed to come together and clearly showed evidence, Mr. Chairman, of wanting a compromise. And one of the members of our committee developed a compromise, which you can see on line 8 of the Standing Committee Amendment, where we deleted the provision that the coroners were particularly objecting to, because realizing it was difficult to comply in some of the rural counties. And with that, the controversy seemed to disappear. The coroner's willing to go for the extra training and willing to comply with the Anatomical Gift Act. provide there was some recognition, and there is in that, of the difficulties that our distances impose. And so I think the controversy has gone away. If you adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, it does a couple of other things. It does what we did in the other bill regarding the eye banks and donation, so it's organs, eye, and tissue. That issue is there as well, Mr. Chairman. That Standing Committee Amendment, as well as I can explain it at this hour, I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? Are you ready for the question? The question is on Senator Scott's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment to Senate File 43. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Back on the bill. Any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Senator Scott, you have anything else to say?
Mr. Chairman, this isn't going to be the end of the thing. We will get some further improvements down the line. This will be a help and get Wyoming to where we're harvesting more organs that will help more people. Urge adoption.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? The question is on Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 43. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 43 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 66. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Senate File 66, Volunteer Health Care, an act relating to public health and safety, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott, Senator Christensen, Chairman, who was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so. With a positive recommendation on Senate File 66, there is an amendment, if we could have that read in now.
Senate File 66, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, that substitute Number 1.
And back to you.
I would move that Standing Committee Amendment. And with that explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, which is a substitute, I'll turn it over to Senator Nethercott.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, you have before you substitute bill to Senate for Senate File 66, Volunteer Health Care. This is a great bill that has been moved out of two committees, Joint Appropriations and Judiciary. This is important for everybody to know. This bill is a really neat piece of legislation that brought a number of groups together concerning the health care. What this bill does is allows for medical providers in the state to offer volunteer healthcare services for free in exchange for them receiving continuing education credits that they need in order to maintain their different licensures, and also providing them the necessary level of immunity that they would need in order to provide those services to the state's patients. So with that, I'm happy to stand for questions. It's a simple, pretty simple bill in that regard. It took a lot of work over the course of a lot of time in order to have all of the medical providers in the state and all of those representing those medical providers in the state satisfied with that language. So I ask for your favorable consideration and would stand for questions on the amendment or on the substitute bill of the amendment.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the question is with regard to this substitute bill, is there any discussion on the substitute bill? Seeing no discussion, the amendment is to the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 66, which, of course, is a substitute bill. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. Question on the bill now. Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Okay. The question is on Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 66. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 66 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 78. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Senate File 78, Opioid Addiction Task Force, an act relating to controlled substances, sponsored by Senator Bebout, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman, was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Okay. You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee of the whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 78 do pass. Mr. Chairman, there's a couple of standing committee amendments. What I'm going to recommend that we first yield to the sponsor of the bill for a brief explanation, and then I will, at that, when he's finished, Mr. Chairman, I will seek recognition to have the standing committee amendment read in, move that, and I'll explain that, and then we'll go to the standing committee amendment from the Appropriations Committee.
Fair enough. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The hour is late, and we've had a long, very productive working day, and very quickly, Mr. Chairman, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Opioid Addiction Task Force. Mr. Chairman, several months ago, I had an opportunity to participate in a National President's Leadership Meeting, and I had the opportunity provided me a situation where I could talk about the opioids with many of my contemporaries throughout our country, and to every one of them talked about and agreed and knew that we had an opioid addiction issues in our respective states. What this bill does, and the reason for it, Mr. Chairman, is in Wyoming, no surprise to any of us in this room, we have been very proactive in what we're doing and trying to deal with this. And what we have, Mr. Chairman, is we have a lot of different programs that we've initiated over the past that have worked. Some maybe could do a little bit better, and there's new areas and new ideas out there that are coming from all directions, Mr. Chairman, as how we should deal with this epidemic that's out there in our state. What we did, Mr. Chairman, and I like the approach of my chairman of the Labor Committee to talk more broadly about the bill, but what we did is there's a lot of hardworking people that have been working on this for several years, and they collectively came and we had a meeting with those people. My colleague from Lincoln County was there as well. And what we did is we listened to them and we asked them their opinions, and we tried to incorporate all of their ideas into this. And the main question I asked them, Mr. Chairman, was, you have your own individual working group right now. Would you rather continue that, or do you think we should elevate it to a higher level, have the legislature more involved through a task force and get involved in that way? Every one of them, Mr. Chairman, said this is the way to go. We want to work with them. We want to have the legislature more involved. And so that's what I bring to you and why the perfect purpose for this, Mr. Chairman. And it's a good idea. I think we need to be as proactive as we can be about a serious issue in our state. I know more way about it personally for a lot of different reasons. It's out there. We got to be proactive. I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Back to you, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, could we have the standing committee amendment from Committee 10 read in, please?
Senate File 78, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Scott.
I got one more.
Mr. Chairman, we worked this bill over quite vigorously.
Could you move the amendment, Senator Scott?
I do move the amendment.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we worked this quite vigorously in committee, and we dealt basically with two issues. The task force, private task force that the sponsor referred to, was working on it and came with a number of suggestions that we adopted, some of which were just technical corrections, some of which were some substantive improvements in it. They recommended a change in the membership of the advisory committee, adding a number of members and reducing the number of legislators from 3 to in each house to 2 to each in each house, adding a member involved in treatment of chronic pain, member of the Board of Pharmacy involved with the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, a practicing pharmacist, a member from the Attorney General staff. So we did those things, which I think improve it, and frankly, that group was enthusiastic about getting on with trying to deal with this problem. Second thing we did, Mr. Chairman, is last year we passed a bill on palliative care, created a palliative care advisory council, and charged that with trying to deal with get to open a dialogue with law enforcement to try to resolve some of the conflicts between the prescribers who need these medications for desperately ill cancer patients in particular. I had an oncologist tell me that some of those pain-killing medications were as effective as chemo often in terms of prolonging life and giving reasonable quality to life. And the one dialogue between them and the law enforcement, who have real problems when these things are abused and people prescription shop and sell them on the streets, and it winds up killing people that way. So what we did was we took a couple of steps to ensure that these two groups talk to each other. The Palliative Care Council is running. It's enthusiastic. I have a good deal of confidence in it. We put their chairman or his designee on this committee, and we amended each law to tell him to talk to the other party. So that's what the Standing Committee Amendment did. I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Questions on the Standing Committee Amendment? Any discussion? Any discussion? You ready for the question? Questions on Senator Scott's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 78. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Standing
Committee Amendment has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Scott.
I ask that the Standing Committee Amendment from the Appropriations Committee be read in, and I would yield to whatever member of the Appropriations Committee is available to take it on.
We'll figure that out. Go ahead.
Senate File 78, Standing Committee Amendment number 2, page 6, line 2.
Could I get somebody from the Appropriations Committee? Senator Landon, happy birthday, by the way.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't going to tell anybody. Mr. Chairman, I would move, if it has not been moved, I'll move a Standing Committee Amendment number 2 to Senate File 78.
Thank you.
And what we did, fellow senators, given the fact that there were adjustments to the size of that task force, both a reduction in the legislative members that would serve on that task force and an increase in the number of private citizens, you will see that we essentially just flipped those numbers. And therefore, we obviously didn't need as much money in the legislative account and a little bit more in the other account. That's all the amendment does, and I would ask for your favorable support.
Discussion on Standing Committee Amendment number 2. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Landon's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 2, Senate File 78, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Back on the bill. Any discussion on the bill? Any discussion on the bill? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a short question. I think it's a simple question for the sponsor, and that is, for someone who doesn't like task forces, this is 2 in 1 day. I just wonder how he has a response for that.
I'm not seeing a lot of motion back there. Well, yes, I am, Senator Bebout. Senator Scott, are you going to bail him out?
Mr. Chairman, I understand the demand for consistency, but I would remind the Senate that consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I had a few comments to say. I guess in the past I was wrong on some of those really good task forces. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, is if the majority floor leader would allow another bill to come up, I have one more I would like to try for.
Anybody else? Anybody else wish? Anybody else? So the question is on Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 78. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 78 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 86. Would the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate File 86, DUI Recidivism Reduction, Driving Privilege Sanctions, an Act Relating to Motor Vehicle Licenses, sponsored by Senator Kinski, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. And ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 86 to present Senate File 86 is Senator Kinski.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senate File 86 is drafted at the request of the sheriffs and chiefs, county attorneys, prosecutors, judges, and the Governor's Commission on Impaired Driving to close a series of loopholes in our current drunk driving laws and also to make them easier to apply in a variety of situations. This applies in particularly to the ignition interlock system and the 24/7 sobriety system, both of which are part of a should and can be part of the rehabilitation of an offender. They both are intended to assure a sustained period of enforced sobriety while the offender finishes out all their community service, as well as attends therapy and counseling. It's aimed at those who have double the BAC requirement on their first offense and any second or third offenders. Here are the features of this bill that fixes up the current 24/7 in sobriety law. Currently, somebody who is required to have an ignition interlock receives a special license that's restricted. There is no such provision for 24/7, and this bill enables that. Currently, ignition interlock is mandatory for all offenders. This gives judges the options of sentencing them to either 24/7, which is continuous monitoring to see if they're drinking or not, or ignition interlock, or both. It allows offenders to start the program early before their guilty plea or conviction if they so choose. It makes clear that offenders who are in a deferral program can be required to participate. Currently, the law is keyed to a conviction, and a deferral does not have a conviction. That's caused a problem. There's a loophole that enables some offenders to avoid any sort of participation at all. They just wait 6 months after their sentence, and we know they're driving something, and they don't get an ignition interlock. And then finally, it extends 24/7 past the sunset date of June 30, 2019. Again, it comes to you from law enforcement, who feels these are important tools in the battle against drunk driving. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on the file? Any discussion on the file? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 86. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 86 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 95. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Senate File 95, Medicare Discrimination, sponsored by Senator Scott, an act relating to the provision of health care, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. Was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so the recommendation that Senate File 95 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment, and I will ask that to be read in a minute. Mr. Chairman, to explain the bill, I ask the Senate to recall what I said on the introduction, and I'll just refresh your memory briefly. We uncovered a cost shift using some information that Wyoming Medical Center provided the Natrona County legislators before the session. I was able to analyze that information and determine that Medicare was almost half their book of business and was paying 64% of the actual cost of serving a Medicare patient, and was forbidding the hospital to charge patients any more than that. They have to recover that cost somewhere. They have to shift it to the people who have private insurance, and what they were actually getting from those people was 193% of the cost of serving them. So a cost shift of 93%, which was better than three times what we had previously thought the cost shift was. If these numbers are borne out after the study called for this bill, I think we will discover that Medicare discrimination against Wyoming is the largest cause of our high health insurance costs in this state. And, Mr. Chairman, it's gotten out of hand. It's much more serious than we've seen before. This bill calls for a study to look at the other hospitals in the state, which is 12 large ones, the largest ones that are under this reimbursement scheme from Medicare. We think the same thing's going on in the physicians, but it's harder to prove things there. It's a major problem. I think we'll find that we have that the numbers won't be quite as bad when we look across state, but they'll still be very, very bad. And we're starting to explore remedies if that turns up. There's a provision in here with the Attorney General asking them to evaluate the possibility of a lawsuit. There are three, at least, legal theories under which we might proceed, one of which derives from a long string of precedents in the public utility law, and I've been talking to attorneys ever since I introduced this, and they all seem to say, gee, we never heard that question asked before, is why that doesn't apply, why wouldn't it? So we may be on to something here. It is a major cause, and we're going to have to explore it, quantify it as first step, Mr. Chairman. That's what this bill does. With that, I would ask the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to be read in.
Senate File 95, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 13.
Back to you, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, move the Standing Committee Amendment. The Standing Committee Amendment does a number of things that are quite extensive here, but are really just technical corrections and typos, and the Health Department came and asked it, where we're asking the State Health Officer to do things they would prefer to say, ask the Health Department to do them. They have some studies in the public health implications of this that we need to know about. The Business Council gets caught with the economic analysis because they understand that better, and then the governor has to put the pieces together and can appoint a task force to help him that would be just, I think, internal to the executive branch, structured so he can do it however he wants to, really. Mr. Chairman, the substantive piece in the amendment was we deleted what had been Section 3, which was a mild restraint on our hospitals' contracting arrangements that might send patients out of state. The committee felt that that was unnecessary, so we removed that from the bill. So it's now, Mr. Chairman, a simple study bill with a requirement for a report in a timely fashion. And frankly, I'm hoping to be able to bring the conclusion to the general session. But that's the Standing Committee Amendment. It does do that one substantive thing, Mr. Chairman.
Questions on the Standing Committee Amendment? Any discussion? Any questions? Seeing none, the question before us is on Senator Scott's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment to number 1 to Senate File 95. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Mr. Chairman, I ask the committee the whole amendment, number 1, be read in.
Go ahead.
Senate File 95, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 1911.
Senator Scott.
Chairman, move the Committee of the Whole Amendment. Mr. Chairman, the Committee of the Whole Amendment corrects the title for what was done in the Standing Committee Amendment. That detail got missed in the Standing Committee Amendment. And then it corrects one typo. No matter how many times you look at these things, you can miss typos that are similar, and that's what happened here. Urge adoption.
Thank you. Discussion on the standing or the committee of the whole amendment, number 1? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Question is on Senator Scott's motion to adopt committee of the whole amendment, number 1, to Senate File 95. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. That's been adopted. Any discussion on the bill?
Question.
Seeing none, the question is on Senator Scott's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 95. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 95 is passed committee of the whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 110. The reading clerk will please read the file.
Senate File 110, Paramutual Events Horse Racing Account, an act relating to paramutual wagering, sponsored by Senator Christensen, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz, Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the file. What is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 110 do pass, and I would yield to the good Senator Christensen.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back about 6 years ago when we did historic horse racing and that bill and that all came together, what has happened is horse racing in Wyoming, live horse racing and the historic horse racing gambling, have both seen incredible growth. As a result of that, the Paramutual Commission, as a result of that bill, is sitting on more money than they need for their annual operating, approximately $5 million. It takes them about $1 million a year to take care of all their contracts, inspections, and so forth. And so what this bill says or proposes is that we start two accounts. But the main one that we're focused on is the horse racing industry development account. And after they set aside their next year's anticipated costs or their expenses, the remainder of that money rolls over into the improvement development account. And that account is then becomes available via SLIB at the request of county commissioners to go into local improvements of the racetracks themselves. This money is generated by the races, and this goes back to helping those counties that are running live races help pay for the improvements on their track. If you think of the example of somebody who likes to race their Ferrari, the fact that they have one doesn't mean they're going to take it out and race it on a dirt road full of potholes. And it's the same thing with these racehorses. We now have an industry that is really growing, and we need to take care of those facilities. This merely provides for that mechanism. There's no new appropriations. This is just reinvesting and helping our local counties with their fairgrounds to make the necessary upgrades or improvements to take care of this industry. Wyoming's on track to become a showcase in horse racing, and this bill will help bring those tracks up to the levels so that we continue that growth. And with that, I'd ask for your support of this bill.
Any discussion on the bill? Any discussion? Any questions? Seeing none, the question is on Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a do-pass recommendation on Senate File 110. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 110 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good job. Just like as in deja vu all over again, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report again.
You've heard the motion. What is your pleasure again? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee of the Whole is rising and reporting.
Good job. Well,
reading clerk, please read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 84, do pass amended. Senate File 43, do pass amended. Senate File 66, do pass amended. Senate File 78, do pass amended. Senate File 86, do pass. Senate File 95, do pass amended. Senate File 110, do pass. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case!
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That report has been adopted. Yeah. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that does clear my desk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I make the motion, just one thing. You know, we're pushing hard on Committee of the Whole, and please don't hesitate that if you feel like you need more time to review one of these bills to don't hesitate to ask for it to be laid back a day or something like that. So if you want to take a closer look at some of this stuff as it goes into second reading, don't hesitate to ask for a bill to be laid back. With that, Mr. Chairman, what is the motion? I move that we stand adjourned until 8:30 tomorrow, Thursday, February the 22nd.
Announcement, Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, 15 minutes after the noon recess in Jonah Room S-19 to take up Senate File 102, National Teaching Certification.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon 15 minutes upon noon adjournment to in Jonah Room L-55 to take up Senate File 100, Economic Diversification, Broadband Services, re-referred. Senate File 105, Drug Donation Program Act Expansion, re-referred. Senate File 108, Economic Diversification and Development, re-referred. Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming Economic Diversification, re-referred. And Senate File 117, School Finance Amendments 3, re-referred.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet immediately upon adjournment. Jonah Room S-27 to consider the following bill, Senate File 92, Electronic Logging Devices Enforcement, continued from 2/16/18.
Any other announcements?
All right.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate stands adjourned until 8:30 tomorrow morning, Thursday, February the 22nd.
Out of my desk.
Good day, Senators.